From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Art can provide a snapshot into history. We can learn so much about our past when we study the paintings or sculptures of a particular era. But what happens when you bring history and art together now? Through a new project called Artifact, organizers are seeking artists to create pieces inspired by local historical objects. Here today to talk about Artifact are Ariel Bougeau. She's a UW La Crosse Assistant Professor of History and co-director of Artifact. Ariel Raker is also co-director, and she's a PR manager for the project. And Callie O'Connor is the curator. And both Callie and Ariel, the second Ariel there, are UW La Crosse students. So Ariel Bougeau, I'm wondering if you can first just explain what exactly Artifact is.
What is Artifact?
What is Artifact?
It's an exhibit that will go on at the Pump House Regional Art Center in February and March.
Of 2016.
2016.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And what it is we're choosing 15 local artifacts. So things like cigar boxes, because there was a big cigar manufacturing industry here. The Winona.
The Leona.
I always say that wrong. Yeah, the Leona, which is a woman's undergarment. What else do we have? We have a dress that Kelly's studying.
Yeah. We have a dress that was sold at Newberg's in La Crosse, which is actually a men's clothing store, but they had some women's clothing there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And a wedding dress designed by a woman in 1914. And actually the Leona, that's a patented undergarment that was designed by this woman, and she sold it all over the world, I believe.
Mm-hmm. But she started here in La Crosse?
Yeah.
Oh, how neat.
Mm-hmm.
Just on Main Street.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
You can visit her house as an antique shop now.
Okay.
We have two patented products. The other one is a
paper fastener,
that's it.
That was also developed here in La Crosse.
Yep.
It's from the Bump Pump Company, which was located in La Crosse, and it's a paper fastener that doesn't use staples, but it looks like an industrial stapler, but it just kind of puts it all together without using any metal.
Huh.
Right.
So all these projects or all these objects are things that you all found through the La Crosse Historical Society. Mm-hmm. Ariel, do you want to maybe talk about that partnership and how you all chose the different objects to include in this project?
Of course. So this project actually started as a graded class project in the Intro to Public and Policy History class taught by Dr. Ariel Bougeau in the fall of 2013. And it was a group project. My group members were Mathis Yama, who was a German foreign exchange student and is now back in Germany, and Amanda Drummond, who was graduating that semester and has since, I believe, moved on to graduate school. And Amanda had been interning at the La Crosse County Historical Society for several semesters at this point. And because the main stipulation of the assignment was to partner with a local organization and create a public history project for them. And so we figured let's capitalize on this relationship that's already been established. Peggy and Amanda knew each other very well. And so we went down to the collections and we're peeking through. And at first we're like, oh, let's do like a traveling exhibit on typewriters or like cameras, because they had a lot of those. But Peggy said, look, we have a lot of objects that were made in La Crosse. I've always wanted to do something with it. You know, how can we, let's do something with that. And then talking with Dr. Ariel Bougeau, we decided, okay, but let's make it a little bit more interesting. Let's add something to it, like try like art or something. And just through kind of talking and then talking with the Pump House Regional Art Center, you know, what have you done before? What's worked? What's not? We really kind of all together developed this collaboration, I should say, between art and history, two local organizations, local artists, local businesses. I refer to it as the Holy Trinity.
And Callie, was it hard to narrow down each of the objects, these 15 objects?
It was really interesting. I actually researched five of them specifically last semester, and we actually found out one of them was not made in La Crosse, but it's so incredible. You just go from the little bit of information we have on them and it's like a scavenger hunt. You find one thing after another, and it was super interesting. There are some things that we have as parameters. We don't want too many textile objects. We don't want too many of a certain type of object, but our only big parameter is that it has to be made in La Crosse, and it's been really fun looking through them and researching them.
But yeah, as you said, it's textiles, it's the mm-hmm. cigar boxes, Ariel, that you mentioned before.
We're looking for some artifacts that represent our Ho-Chunk community and our Hmong community as well. So we have a third student that's working on this project, also named Kelly.
Kelly, two Ariels and
yeah.
two Kellys.
Yes.
Perfect.
And she's a diversity coordinator and education manager. And so it's her job this semester to, and she's also interning with the Historical Society and Peggy Derrick. And she's trying to find artifacts made in La Crosse that will represent those communities as well.
Yeah, I would also like to add too, just Kelly, Nimi, and I are in a grant writing class where we're writing one of the grants for the project, and we were looking at some of the census data to try and work with needs assessment and justification. And in looking at the census data, Asian populations make up 4.9% of La Crosse. It's the second highest population, so that's definitely one of our serious goals, is to really represent the diversity that does live in La Crosse.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about Artifact, a new project that blends history and art. My guests are Ariel Raker. She's the co-director and PR manager for Artifact. Callie O'Connor is the curator, and both of them are UW La Crosse students. And Ariel Bougeot, she's a UW La Crosse assistant professor of history and co-director of Artifact. So you've picked out your objects. Or I guess you're still hunting for some. But essentially, right now, you have a call out to artists to interpret these artifacts in their own way. Ariel, can you explain that process and what exactly you all are looking for?
Right. So we have a website. It's art-effect.org.
And we'll have a link on our website.
Right. That's great. So on the website, what you will see is that on September 15th, there will be is the end of our call to artists. You will be asked to give an example of 5 works of art, and then there will be the blind jury that works with the pump house. They will choose the 15 artists, and really we're looking for any sort of art other than performance art. So they'll choose a diversity of artists. They will put the artifact with the artist and then allow the artists time to go. We'll give them 3 months to create a piece of art that represents the artifact in some way.
Wow. And the students get to choose which artist gets which artifact.
No, it's not the students.
Okay.
It will be the jurors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so actually this part is out of our hands. It's
sure.
The jurors of the pump house that will do that work. So what the students will do, so eventually what I'm going to do is teach a class on this. So starting in September until next, well, who knows? But sorry, from sure. from September until
the project
May?
Ends?
Or?
May, yeah.
Okay.
I'll be teaching a class where the students will do a material culture analysis of each object.
What
which
does
is,
that mean?
Yeah, so I'm actually a material culturalist.
Oh.
So I'll teach the students my craft, which is studying an object for what it can tell you about the history of the place that made it or the people that made it, right?
Based on the materials, more
yeah.
or less?
Well, it's all kinds of things.
Okay.
Things have markers on them,
mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to see the manufacturer sometimes. And then sometimes materials will tell you something, right? Rayon only comes at a certain time. The color mauve only comes at a certain
mm-hmm.
time, right? So there's the history of those of color. There's a history of fabric. There's a history of manufacture and how that changes over time. And then there's the company that created it that you can research. And then really my book, which is called Victorian Fashion Accessories, that looks at objects and what they can tell us about Victorian culture, right? So what can a fan tell us about flirting in Victorian Britain?
Mm.
What can gloves tell us about how women wanted to represent their hands that worked all day, but they weren't supposed to be working, right? How does that help them represent themselves as a true woman, right? So each of our artifacts will tell us something about, you know, why is a cigar box square? When you consider that cigars they're long and thin, but they're round, right? So why is it square? So often you can see, from an artifact a connection to other artifacts, right? Our culture is square, right? Our culture is linear. It's not circular, right? Unlike what we might say about the Ho-Chunk Nation culture, right? And circularness is very important to that culture. So it represents the culture. The things that we will look at will represent the culture in various ways. And I don't know which ways because my students haven't done the work yet.
Well, it's so amazing that, I mean, this is a public art project, I guess, at its core, but just the educational element that comes about from all of this. What is that like for you, Callie?
I think this exhibit is super exciting to people who don't learn history in the traditional ways. History is one of those subjects like math that only certain people can excel at. Only certain people seem to excel at. And I think if it's taught in different ways, that's like the best way to reach other audiences. And with museum, specifically history museum exhibits, that's always a hard push, is to try to get those different audiences. And I think with the art aspect of that, that we're really solving that problem.
Ariel, did you want to add on?
Yeah, that's also something that we're really, Callie, Nimi, and I are working really hard on. One of our goals in our mission statement is for the educational aspect of this. And one of the things we're really looking to do is hopefully get local schools as well part of this. And so we've been doing a lot of research on arts integration and how important that is. And just a few of the snippets that we found so far is that arts integration provides better retention of knowledge. So, you know, there was a study that was done that looked at, so they were teaching history, and so they interviewed the kids right before, right after, and 2 months later. Right before, they were all at the same level. Right after, they were all at the same level. But 2 months on, the kids who'd gone through the arts integration curriculum remembered so much more than the kids who had not. So really, kind of one of the bigger goals of this project to include the students is to provide them opportunities to learn history in a different way, especially local history. It's important to know where you're from and to know why the place you're from is the way it is. And that can really be important to provide, to be a better citizen, to be a better just member of society. So providing opportunities like that to hopefully increase interest as well is really what we're trying to do.
It is interesting how this can really teach so many more people just about our local history. Like, I had no idea that a certain type of pin was invented in La Crosse, however long ago it was. And, you know, so just with one exhibit, you could learn so much and how that just spills over into what else was going on in La Crosse at that point in time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ariel?
Oh, the other thing I'd like to add, too, is the other thing that I love about our project is that it, you know, you can go through as just an art person and enjoy the art, or you can go through it just as a history person and enjoy it. So I don't think you have to be just a history or just an art. I think anybody can go through and really glean something from it as well.
So when it comes to once the artists are selected and they're assigned a specific artifact, I'm assuming it's up to them to do what they want with the work of art they create.
So what we do is we, as students, we'll compile a complete portfolio of all the research done on the artifact, the historical research, the material culture analysis, and then that will be given to the artist, and they use that as their inspiration as much as the actual visual look of the artifact.
So they won't be incorporating the artifact into the work of art. I'm sure that could be dangerous.
No, because it's a museum piece. Sure. If it wasn't, then they could, for sure. But because we've joined up with the Historical Society, we can't have them integrating that particular piece, but they might find another one at the many, many antique places around La Crosse.
Good point. So, I mean, I'm sure you've all had different ideas floating in your heads as to ways that artists could interpret this. Ariel, have you had any of your own ideas?
Yeah, so one of the original ideas that Amanda and Mathis and I had that we included in our first presentation was taking either the wedding dress or the Leona and pairing it with maybe like a metalwork specialist. We found an artist who actually had done this incredible, incredible piece. It was very obviously like a dress, but it was made of all metal, and it was very modern. It was very raw. It was so cool. Just so cool. And so I really like the idea of kind of mixing mediums. So not putting a textile specialist with another, or textile with a textile specialist, but, you know, maybe putting a textile with someone who deals in ceramics, or, you know, doing fun, interesting things that really could really play with, like, the textures of things.
Callie?
I read an article not too long ago about, I think it was actually a university, an art department who created paper 18th century French gowns, like these massive gowns, wow, just completely out of paper. And I thought that was the most interesting thing I'd ever seen.
So a paper artist with the wedding gown.
Yeah.
All right, check. Yeah. So we're looking for a paper artist.
Yeah.
Ariel,
do
you have a bookbinder, please?
Yeah, right.
Have you had ideas?
Have I had ideas?
Or have you left that up to the students?
The piece that Ariel was speaking about, mm-hmm, that metal piece, that was on the cover of a friend of mine's book. That artist's a piece of hers. It was a brassiere. Do you remember that? It was a gold brassiere. And that was a book about lingerie.
Okay.
So there's a woman who I really like who works in oil with oil barrels, and she'll carve things out of oil barrels. So originally, this is kind of, so when Ariel and I had originally, and her group, right, had originally spoken about, like, how can we make this really interesting? How we can we make this go? Before I even got here, I started developing a class on 10 objects that changed the world. Mm-hmm. And I had an idea to do a similar thing at the Pump House, where we would have the podcasts that the students have been creating over time on this project, and then have artists respond. So those oil barrels, that oil barrel art was really interesting to me, because oil is one of the objects that changed the world, mm-hmm, right? And so that's kind of where I was thinking, and that doesn't really relate to what we're doing. Although there is some history of oil here. So now I'm thinking.
No, that's okay.
As well, it goes.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
I'm,
it's interesting, because,
could...
I mean, there are endless possibilities, mm-hmm, obviously, with art, and just, it must be so interesting, the ideas that will be coming out of this.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I'm really looking forward to as the PR manager. I've already got ourselves an Instagram account, and Twitter, obviously, and Facebook. But I'm really excited about the Instagram opportunities. One of the things I'm hoping to do, and it's something that we're going to obviously have to coordinate with the artist, is to actually travel to their studios while they're creating, mm-hmm, and take, like, kind of like sneak peeks and show, you know, be able to kind of visit with them and see, okay, so you got the wedding dress. What are you doing? You know, like, what are you thinking? What's your process? So I really want to also kind of incorporate some of that into it as well.
Is it important to involve the public in that behind the scenes process when it comes to something like this? I mean, does it get people engaged or excited about it a little more?
Well, Ariel? We like to do that, of course.
Yeah.
The three of us are also involved in the Hear Hear project.
Sure.
So we're always interested in incorporating the public into the work that we're doing. Not only as, like, we're doing history for the public, we're doing history with the public in this case, right? And in all the cases, we try and do that more and more. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we're thinking about for the education to, again, involve, mm-hmm, involve the public. So we'll have the students and the artists presenting together, you know, maybe three student-artist combinations at a time at the Pump House, where they will give kind of an artist history talk together, you know, and the public can come to that and ask questions and so on. But there's that the public, which is the students, and then there's the public that's the art, and, mm-hmm, then there's the public that can be the audience. But the audience, I think more and more, especially with Hear Hear, but we'll think about how to integrate this stuff into Artifact as well. How can the audience become move from the public and become someone who's interacting and representing the project or recreating the project again? So, mm-hmm, I don't know. We haven't really thought through how we could do that for this.
Yeah. Callie, Nimi, and I have had a couple ideas with the education aspect, because we want to include local students. We're kind of thinking, like, part of the curriculum we'll develop is, like, you know, we don't want to have to develop a curriculum for every single age group, but we're thinking, you know, do a couple kind of steps, and then within that have assignments that they could – that'll be much more age appropriate. So like maybe with third graders, they'll come through and we'll have them go home and find – you know, look at an old piano and they get to do an art project with it. Or, you know, an eighth grader might have to invest, you know, do like a book report or something like that. So I'm wondering if maybe we could almost do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Is there anything else that the three of you would like to talk about, Ariel?
I guess just especially because right now we're looking for call to artists. Please, if you're somewhat interested, the submission fee is only $15, which is extremely reasonable. That's one of the reasons why we did that is we want students, we want anybody to be able to apply to be in it. We're looking for all different types of mediums except performance art. But seriously, all different types of mediums. We are as interested in all the crazy, wacky, cool things that you can do. And we fully believe that you can do stuff with the artifacts that we'll give you.
Ariel Bougeau is a UW-La Crosse Assistant Professor of History and Co-Director of Artifact. Ariel Raker is Co-Director and PR Manager. And Callie O'Connor is Curator. Both Ariel Raker and Callie O'Connor are also UW-La Crosse students. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. You can find a link to Artifact's website at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has links to this show and other recent editions of Newsmakers. And if you'd like to share your comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.